This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, second hour of the show. Always appreciate you taking us along for the ride, wherever you may be. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Wednesday. Nicholas, I want to make sure you're okay. We've been highly baseball and tense talk dialogue, and I want to make sure everything's good in your world.
Doing good. I'm looking forward to the weekend, though. No doubt.
Okay. Yeah? What you got planned?
I'm actually going to the Improv, so I am genuinely upset.
Are you really?
That they're closing.
Who's there this weekend? Miles Jabroni?
I think that's who it is. I think that's what we're seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't book the tickets.
No?
I did not. Well, I don't know how much is name? How much. I'm not going to reveal that, sir. Not going to reveal that. How much is his tickets going for, you think? Like, it's not in the like hundreds, are we, right? There's no way, right?
What? Tickets?
For Maj Jabroni.
No.
No way, right?
No, I can go to their website right now. But I doubt that. I mean, 25 maybe? 25, 30?
That's my guess.
Let's see.
My guess honestly was like 55 or 60, honestly.
Oh, really?
At the Improv, but
I don't think that would be the case. I could be wrong though. I haven't bought tickets to a club in forever.
Obviously.
So I honestly don't know how much it costs. Oh, damn. Yeah, between $30 and $75, depending on what you want.
Wow.
So I guess if you get that's why. There's a VIP meet and greet. So you pay the $75, and that includes you getting to go on stage and shake his hand and take a picture with him afterwards.
I don't know if we're doing that, but yeah.
I'm going to start doing that.
How come they don't? Like, seriously, though, like, how come they don't let you do that?
I'd be getting home, and Nora would be like, "Babe, how many meet and greets did you sell?"
None.
No one wanted to meet me or greet me. But you know what, though? These acts, they make more money on that than they will from the club. I've seen Brendan Schaub do it. He made a grip doing meet and greets afterwards. And it was, I think they paid $50, $25. Don't catch me lying. One of the two. But you paid extra. And then there was a line that just forms. And he's standing on the stage. And they're like, "Have your cell phone ready, everybody." And then you walk on stage. He shakes your hand. They spin you around. Click. Next.
Well, you know,
walk on stage.
You know where they got
it from.
My name
is Barry. I'm a big fan. Yeah, now click next. Like, you don't get, "Hey, what's up? How's it going? Love your..." No, it's like, "Hey, my name is..." Click next.
You know where they got that from? From the autograph world and from concerts. Mm. Concerts are doing the same thing now.
Yeah.
Concerts are doing, instead of, you know, like if you knew somebody or you were with the record label or a radio station, you used to get to go backstage and take the picture and do all that. Mm-hmm. And they just... From I don't know if it was the labels or the concert promoters decided, you know what? There's a racket in this. Oh, and yeah. Now you can buy tickets or you can buy the VIP experience. And for a grossly larger amount than your ticket price,
yeah,
you can do the exact same thing. And you're right. It takes a matter of seconds. The artists aren't exactly conversational because they know, look, but I need to we need to roll through this. And that's just the same way the autograph shows go. You pay for the autograph. If you want to do the picture, it's not the picture in conversation. These athletes are the same way. They're like, "Yep, good, yep, got to go see it."
Yeah. I will say this, though. To give him credit, Brendan Schaub was overly nice to every single person that hit that stage. It's his people that kind of rushed the process. But he was pleasant and cordial and, "Hey, what's up, man? Thanks for coming out." You know, like, it wasn't like he was like, "Okay, whatever, shut up, don't talk to me, next." He was very nice.
As in everything.
To his fans.
Just like with the Toronto fans or anywhere else. You get the good, you get the bad apples, you get guys that are tolerant. You get, and again,
I've worked with some, and I won't mention their name just because I don't want to kiss and tell. But I've done weekends with guys that do meet and greets that were the biggest a-holes to the people. And I'm like, "Bro, one, these are your fans. You should embrace these people. Because if not for them, you don't have anything."
Right.
And two, they forked over a lot of cash for this moment. And you're just going to sit here and be a dick about it? You don't deserve those fans. And you certainly don't deserve their money if that's how you're going to act.
It's cool that Brendan does that because he's not, I don't want to say like borderline celebrity, but he is most certainly more popular than existing stand-up comics. And he hasn't been doing it as long. And yeah, I guess you can thank Joe Rogan for some of his notoriety, yes. but at the same time, it's cool that he gets this rush of fans and he's actually not being a, like you mentioned, he's not being a dick about it because they will remember that.
And I've mentioned this to you guys. You reap what you sow. So, you know what? There are a lot of guys that are really appreciative, and I go even to the autograph show side of things where you get the athletes that are like, dude, I'm past my prime. I'm retired, but you're paying me how much to sign these things? Sure. You want a couple extras? Absolutely. You want me to meet and greet with some of your kids or something like that? Absolutely. And then you get the guys that instead of being appreciative are walking in like it's expected with an extra guy that has a clicker that's not signing one extra autograph, taking a picture, talking to anyone, thinking that it all has a price tag associated with it. And when they walk away, the promoters and the people that are doing the shows are going, I don't ever want to see that guy again. But if you're nice and you do those little extra things, even if you aren't the celebrity you once were, they may have you back again and again because it's a feel good for you, the fans, and everybody that works with you.
Yeah.
That's why I miss the older UFC days so bad, like pre-UFC 150. I miss it so much because meeting some of these fighters was so easy. And they were so cool. And they were so humble. UFC 136... I was at the Toyota Center. Line is being formulated outside Toyota Center after, I want to say, one of the media days or after the fight. And Dana White is literally, his security is like, yep, Dana White, we'll come out, say hi, take a picture, and talk to you. But we're formulating a line right here.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually an intern here. And I was waiting in line just so I can say hi to Dana White. And Dana White would do that. And this is like Anderson Silva, George St. Pierre days where everybody was, Frankie Edgar was a champion. I met Frankie Edgar. I met Chael Sonnen. I met Brian Stann. I met Anderson Silva. I met George St. Pierre. I think I met all those people in one day.
Yeah.
That's how accessible they were.
What's crazy is that was the year, that was when the cage door was around. And so we ended up getting credentials to cover UFC 136. And we were at, because they had the expo.
That's what it was. The expos are so cool.
The expo, and we're walking around, and out of nowhere, guess who I bump into? Joe Silva. And yeah. I'm like, dude, I would love to interview you for my website. And he was like, well, they don't let me do interviews, but here's some information. If that changes, you know, I mean, reach out, email me, and if I can do it, I'll do it. If not, I won't. We took a picture together. But you're right. That was like, now, I'll to his credit, Mick Maynard is the guy that replaced Joe Silva. Mick Maynard will take a picture with anybody.
Right.
But I've tried to get, because Mick's my buddy, and he still won't do interviews because the same rule applies. So credit to Joe Silva for even saying, look, if something comes up and I'm able to do it and I can, I'll accommodate. Here's my contact info. That's not going to happen necessarily nowadays. You're not getting access to the fighters. You know another sport that was like that? And I don't know if it's like that anymore, but NASCAR used to be one of the most fan-friendly sports of any sport that's existed.
NASCAR
was great about it. I don't know if they still are.
Like they have the fans in the infield, and they do certain fans get to be with them when they do the intros, when they escort them to their cars, and all the other things. And the other one is hockey. They say that hockey players are the most down-to-earth. The most accessible, want to sign things, like will literally sit down and drink a beer with you kind of guys. That I've always heard nothing but like the most down to earth of all the athletes are hockey players.
Right.
So that's
fans
another one I put on the list.
That, man. Fans appreciate that.
Absolutely.
So if you were going to pay for a meet and greet, because I don't know if I would do that. I don't know if I was trying to think, who am I a fan of enough to fork over $50 to shake their hand and take a picture of?
The Sports World Hakeem for me.
So you would pay the $50?
I'd pay $50 to meet. I mean,
to shake his hand and take a picture with him.
If I haven't, yeah, I would pay $50 for
Hakeem. Okay. Is there anybody?
Just pay me. I'll do it.
Is there anybody? Brett Favre.
Being in the business for so long,
I know.
You're jaded. But I will say this. The one you mentioned, the name that has eluded me. On two separate occasions, I was supposed to meet him. Once I was supposed to golf with him and it rained.
Mm-hmm.
And it really did bum me out because I had heard he's a good dude. He's laid back. You know, he's conversational. That would have been cool. A Tiger Woods was another one. I had one opportunity with Charles and it fell through because of the weather and I was bummed.
Yeah.
So but you other would than do that, I'm not going to pay for any of that. It's like, you know what? Working in a building.
But take yourself out of this business. If you're just a guy, you don't do sports talk radio. You're not the director of, what was it? Director of broadcasting for the Rockets. You are Joe Blank. the insurance agent.
Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Aaron Rodgers.
Who's the one guy you're like, babe?
Based on the fact I've never met anybody, right?
Yeah, you're like, babe, there's a guy, this is happening this weekend, and for $50, not only do I get to go to the event, but an extra $50, I get to meet so-and-so and shake their hand and get a picture with them. I'm going, who's that person?
Man, I don't know.
Really?
Because I've just never been like that. I don't know.
What surprises me, because you're a big memorabilia guy.
I collect it, but a lot of times I collect it because people, they say they need something from you, and you make it happen for them, and then they send you something, and you're like, okay, well, I put that away. And then over the years, you realize, damn, I put a lot of stuff away. But it's not to that level.
It's got to be a Packer, though. I feel like there's a Packer or...
Or is there a famous music artist from Milwaukee?
Not even from Milwaukee. I was thinking about musically, too. I think the Prince. Biggest thing... I think that would have been... pretty cool. And I think, again, take away any of my past experiences, MJ to me is the greatest of all greatests.
Yeah.
Or Muhammad Ali. You know, like an Ali or an MJ.
Those
Ali, if he was still alive, and I know that when Calvin Murphy and I used to talk about this, Murph's a big boxing aficionado. And Murph's got a couple of things signed, gloves and other things signed by Ali.
So now
I would say Ali.
Okay. Because I was gonna say, you don't have to limit it to just sports. It could be anybody. It could be an actor, a comedian, a singer. It could be anybody. So if I work with you
every day, so I don't.
I'll sign whatever you want for free, Joel.
And take
don't
a picture.
Worry.
That'd be fine.
What, is there anybody? Because I know mine. I was trying to think about this. Like, I don't really have a sports person that I would do this for. But I think growing up, a guy I always was fascinated by and researched and admired was Martin Luther King Jr. Mm-hmm. And he was a guy that if I was able to, he's one of the few guys that I would pay to be able to just meet and shake their hand and take a picture with. But there's not, I'm with you though. There's not a lot of people. I mean, Prince is probably on that list.
That's too. A big
Tupac,
one, yeah.
Biggie.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, right. When you think about guys that have affected your life.
Yeah.
With their music and stuff?
Absolutely. So a guy like Prince, a guy like before all the stuff, Michael Jackson. Because I was a huge Michael Jackson fan. And the last one, Bill Cosby.
Before all that stuff, and I knew he was big on your list.
Bill Cosby was a huge... I wouldn't be doing comedy if it wasn't for Bill Cosby. So, I mean, he would be on that list. I'm not now. I'd punch him in
the
face.
When you think about it, too, because again, when you think about people like that, because I said Ali would be definitely on the list.
Yeah.
But when you think about that, like the Beatles, they transcended music and culture and countries and all these different things. And McCartney, and if Lennon was alive, and Harrison and those guys were like, they were massive figures
but
in
for
the public
you?
Eye. But for me personally, it's Ali. It's Ali, probably an MJ. Right. Yeah.
If I know you went sports because we do sports. Did you have somebody non-sports that you would pick, Nick?
So non-sports, Tupac, Biggie. But Ray Charles was another guy I've mentioned before.
Because
he was not blind. And then he went blind as a child.
Right.
And then he succeeded. And I've always been impressed by that perseverance. So Ray Charles would be another one.
I got another one for you because you said that. Stevie Wonder.
That's your guy. You love
Stevie. Love me some Stevie Wonder. And because the stories back it up, we talk about guys that are just good people. And I told that story that time on the air about our security guy being able to interact with him and being called to his room. And so not Stevie Wonder would be that guy.
I should have seen that coming.
What? That's not funny. Did you see Nick going to Ray Charles?
Huh? No.
He didn't.
I can see me getting cash back though, and I can see that through the Get Upside app. And so last time I was telling you about Get Upside, we talked about food. I want to talk about something I don't mention a lot with Get Upside. And look, if you haven't done this yet, I don't know what you're waiting on, but you are wasting time and money by not downloading this app to your phone and giving it a shot. You have nothing to lose. I promise you this. There's no catches. There's no fees. You download it. If you don't like it, don't use it. You can uninstall it from your phone. But I promise you, you're going to see how easy it is to get cash for stuff you're already paying for. You're going to want to use GetUpside. Make sure you put in my promo code, Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That is going to get you extra cash back when you use the GetUpside app to put gas in your car for the first time. Because normally you can get up to 25 cents a gallon. Use promo code Barry, you can get even more. My wife ended up getting 30 cents a gallon cash back on her first fill up because she put my promo code in once she installed the app on her phone. And you can do the same. But let's talk a little bit about, we know you can get cash back on gas. I know you, I've told you earlier today, you can get cash back on food. Did you know you can also get bonus cash back by referring your friends? You don't have to do this. This isn't some one of those things where it's like, well, the only way to get cash back is to tell your friends to use GetUpside. That's not the case. But these guys that are sending me screenshots of $300 in their account, absolutely they're referring their friends. And why wouldn't they? There's no catch. There's no hidden stuff that takes place. It's just you're spreading the love and the word of GetUpside, and it benefits you, and it benefits everybody, because the more people that are using it, the more businesses that are involved, the more all of us get cash back. So make sure you tell your friends about it if you use it. But like I said, up to 25 cents a gallon at over 500 gas stations, and up to 35% cash back on your food purchases through the GetUpside app. Go download it right now. It's completely free. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
ESPN 97.5.
Looking to build a deck? Think track.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of the first half, but don't you fear, the second half will be very near as we get to the second 90 minutes of the show. So that means that's the reason why the windshield is bigger than the rearview mirror, because you know what? You can look back and remember what we covered already. You can go to podcasts and find out what we talked about. You can go to ESPN975.com, click on the show tab, and it'll all be there right there at your fingertips. But also realize, hey, the encouraging thing is you've got 90 minutes to go after this. And you can also listen to us via the app, which is available via the same website, ESPN975.com. Then you can take us anywhere, everywhere, never miss anything with the show.
I haven't been on top of the text line.
That's what she said.
I hear...
Sorry.
I hear the deleted items is off
the
hook.
Oh, it's special today, because you know I stay out of your way, and I just check those.
Yeah.
But I also realize that when you check those are ones that never make it to the inbox. Right. I'm always happy to see people that I hate on there. But then I also see like the same number 16 times in a row and go, that's not a fan. That's an obsession.
That's psychotic.
It's a bit that way, yeah.
All right, so from the text line, I have to get to this. It says, hey, guys, longtime listener. We'll do that in a second, but I wanted to give a shout out to Eli and James Peralta. Eli's birthday is today. James's birthday is next month. They're both in Little League. Both made their all-star teams this
Congratulations.
Year.
Congratulations.
So shout
Happy
out
birthday.
To them.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening. We appreciate you guys. Now, somebody said, Barry, I throw EDM shows, the electronic dance music shows. I don't know if you know what EDM is.
Yes, Craig Ackerman, I do. Remember I told you he's like over the top on that.
Okay. And he said, this says also DJ and produce. And let me tell you, it's not just comedy. Local art in Houston is dying right now, and it's very sad. Hopefully it'll pick up soon. I know the feelings stay up. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a lot of stuff. People are like, is it because Houston's lazy? Like, we don't go to sporting events. We don't go to art. We don't go to...
You're right. It's an overall trend.
Are we just fat asses that sit at home and watch
like
stuff?
I feel like we are, dude. I feel like we're homebodies.
I feel like Houston because we're not
sucks.
New York or LA with the hustle and bustle and the traffic and all that other stuff, that people are really kind of getting too comfortable almost because... You know what? If you're the only thing that you really in that same genre and regard, when you mention art and comedy and all these different entertainers, and then you think about it and go, but you know what's blooming and flourishing and still on top of it? Food, foodies,
mm-hmm.
restaurants,
fat asses.
That's crazy.
You know, one criticism I've heard on more than one occasion is someone coming from another city asking a Houstonian, "Hey, what is it? Where should I go? What's to do? What can we do here?"
Nothing.
And the Houstonian literally doesn't have an answer because they're usually at home despite being in this town for so long.
And they don't know about Culture Map where everything's at your fingertips.
True that. I will say this, and it's on me. Me and my wife are lazy, mm-hmm. but we don't do a lot. And the reason is because we live so far out.
I'm with you on that.
If we didn't live in Spring, I have a feeling that I would do a lot. It's just like... going to games, right?
Yeah.
Like, we cover the Astros and Rockets and Texans, and 90% of the time, if I'm going to go to an Astros game as a media member, it's going to be after work. You know why? Because I don't have to go from the house to Minute Maid Park. Exactly. I can go from here at the station to Minute Maid Park. Now, on the, you know, on the off chance that maybe I'm down there, like the other day, I tweeted something out because we were down there. I was covering something for Houston Sports Show. Mm-hmm. I went to the Astros game, and then I went to the Secret Group and caught some comedy, but it was all right there.
Right.
I'm not driving down there for all that on a Saturday.
We live in Sugar Land and deal with the same thing. And the thing that Lisa and I always say is, if we still lived in Midtown where we did, that's the thing that we missed the most. We were 10 minutes from anything, you know? Even the Woodlands, if we went to a concert, it was 25,
right? Just hop on the Hardy. You're
but
good.
Yeah, but when you look at it now, and like you said, even for games, I'm like, look, been there, done that, been in all these locker rooms and covered all these sports and done all these things, but at the same time, it's so much easier for me because TV has gotten so good that I can see everything that I need to see, and I'm not away from my family for an extra couple hours because it's going to take an hour and a half there and back.
Lazy ass.
Oh, shut your mouth.
Lazy,
you just said the same thing.
Fat Joel.
You just said the same thing.
I don't.
Chub
I didn't
Rock.
Say,
you're sitting in the north side.
I didn't say I stay at home with my family.
Because you don't have a... You just got Nora and a cat.
NASCAR Johnny said NASCAR drivers are still great with their fans.
That's good to know.
His name is NASCAR Johnny, so he would know.
Trey would.
I'd pay $50 to meet Barry Warner. Blocked?
And
lying ass.
This is Demetrius. I was all set to pay $350 to meet the Aliens cast at the comic show in Houston a couple years ago. My kids got sick. I couldn't go. Bill Paxton dies a couple months later. I still kick myself for not going that day.
Oh,
that does suck.
You know what Barry Warner would say if the guy went through with it?
What?
You got any friends? Let's do this again.
Let's meet up.
I'm here. Do you have any friends? I am Barry Warner. You want to see my Hall of Fame ring? That's an extra 25. Picture with it, 50.
Put your keys in the bowl.
You want to feel my chest hair? Let's talk.
God.
How do you look? Hey, honey. Okay.
Ugh.
All right, we got 90 in the books. Still 90 to go, the big show. The second half coming right around the bend. It is ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half of the show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride. Wherever you may be on this Wednesday in the big city, due to just a complete lack of communication, Way Back Wednesday is on hiatus.
It's been canceled.
Is it until further notice or until next week?
I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Somebody said, Barry, I got 32 cents a gallon off using GetUpside. Dope. Like hearing
that's
that.
That's pretty darn good.
That's stout. Hey, Barry, how did you celebrate National Black Men Don't Cheat Day? You're the most faithful black man around. I look up to you.
Well, the last part is a mistake.
Idiot. Who celebrates? No one celebrates that day.
No, I just...
It's... Okay. Somebody said, Barry, you drive to El Paso overnight for a comedy show, but won't drive in town for some culture. I don't get paid to go get culture.
Ooh, very good point.
And it's for a week of comedy, not overnight, and then come back that night. It's for a long weekend, of which I'm getting paid. So, big difference. I know it's not the same, but I work in construction, and this year has been crazy. We're down about 30% overall from last year.
Ouch.
May alone, we were down 50%. I've reached out to a lot of the guys we used to work with, and they're having the same issue. It all ties in together when you think about it. Wondering if any other listeners or can chime in. Thanks. Love the show. That is interesting. And, you know, Houston's always been known as having a lively economy. I wonder if we're seeing something change where we've always led the nation, really, as far as the economy. People, we're a destination city. People, not to travel, but people want to move here because of our economy, our jobs, mm-hmm. cost of living is so low.
Tax, yeah. No,
I wonder
no state
if
tax,
that's
yeah.
changing.
I wouldn't think so because, like I said, the numbers are growing. When you look at it population wise, they said it's just a matter of time before Houston overtakes Chicago for the third largest city in America.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's a hell of a lot better than Chicago in a lot of ways. Climate is where you start with. And then, like you said, cost of living and other things. But Yeah, I wouldn't think that it's people not wanting to come here as much. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
Hey, Joel, since you're from Wisconsin, are you invited to JJ's wedding?
Nope.
Not going.
That's one guy I've never met.
What? Would you pay $50?
No, and speaking of Barry Warner, Barry Warner had a lunch lined up with JJ and Yao a long time ago and invited me, and I couldn't make it.
The weather.
And I hadn't even thought about it. And like,
damn, that's the third time the weather got you.
Yeah.
So you had a chance to meet JJ and didn't go.
Did not.
Hmm. Were you upset?
I actually had a full-time job at the time.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
Barry is the joke joint closing down.
Jeez. Welcome to the first hour of the show. That's a good time to plug how you can catch up on things you missed on The Usual Suspects, Barry.
Podcastarena.com, hour number one. We spent almost two full segments on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go check it out there. The answers lie in hour number one. I'm not going to answer that question. We've covered it already. I went to the Comedy Showcase back in the day when it was by Luby's, and Ralphie May was a teacher for Driver's Ed. That's a fact.
Really?
That's an absolute fact. Ralphie May used to be their Driver's Ed instructor. A lot of comics supplement their income by teaching defensive driving, comedy defensive driving, and a lot of clubs will supplement. They're like, building.
I think John and Lance were talking about that the other morning. But then,
talking about what?
The fact that comedy clubs are used for the defensive driving.
Comedy clubs.
Because they can get the room for free because there's nothing in it.
Well, it's the clubs that do it. So it's not that a school is necessarily renting it out. Like, the joke joint used to do defensive driving during the day.
Really?
So you could go there and take a comedy defensive driving class. The joke joint did it. And then, the comic would get paid and the comic would teach defensive driving. A lot of comics supplement their income by teaching comedy defensive driving.
Huh.
They did that in Sugarland, too. That's actually a fact.
Yeah. And Ralphie May was one of those guys.
So where did he instruct from the back? Because where was the student going to sit?
Okay. No, they're not.
That was not nice. No.
He's dead.
My bad.
That's even worse.
You are making fat jokes about a dead guy.
My bad.
I've never been more proud of you. That turned quick, didn't it?
Ooh, boy.
Yeah. Well, back then,
and Ralphie May
really
was
using
a hero of mine.
Nick's what? Picking his spots, but boy, he's dropping the hammer when he gets in.
When he's big, and at that time, like, if you go to at driver's ed schools now, a lot of them have, some of them have SUVs. Back then, it was all these like tiny ass cars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, tiny cars.
So what does that mean?
I'm just saying it was a struggle. He knew about the struggle, Ralphie May.
What are you talking about?
Because they're all like Geo Metros.
He wasn't sitting in the cars. It was classroom based.
Yeah, it's in a classroom
set. Oh, it's only defensive driving? He wasn't teaching? Oh,
it wasn't driver's ed. It was defensive driving.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. Ralphie May.
I thought you said driver's
ed. I thought he was being serious. No. I thought he was making a joke about the car.
No. This was all defensive driving in a classroom environment. Or in a club, basically. You get on stage or you sit on the stage.
No, they did that in Sugarland, too. It was a driving school. It was a comedy place, and they did defensive driving out of it.
Uh-huh.
But the defensive driving the comedy wasn't lucrative, so they just made it to a driver's school in its entirety.
Eesh.
It's not just defensive. It's like where you actually,
kids
like got their driver's license.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fact that several people, because I posted on my Facebook about it closing down, and people were like, man, I remember going there. This guy named Theodore is a huge comedy fan, very supportive of all the comedians in town, been a big fan of mine and supportive of me. But he goes, man, I remember going to the joke joint when it was the Comedy Showcase, and I had gotten a speeding ticket. And so I took a class, and some dude named Ralphie May was teaching it, and he was absolutely hilarious. And we went back and caught one of his shows later, because that's partly why they do it. If you're funny, people want to come back and see you.
Right.
But yeah, Ralphie May was a defensive driving instructor. Supplement his income. Yeah.
But we talked about it even here. I mean, everybody's got side hustles because it's just the way it is these days.
I did that once in person, and I said I would never do it again.
What?
Comedy?
Defensive driving. Oh. I would never attempt comedy.
So you took a defensive driving class?
I've taken several, but the very first one that
didn't work.
First, I sure didn't. I was just going to say the same thing. I was like, you, it didn't have a lasting effect on you.
No, because you're allowed to take it, I think, once every 12 months to dismiss your ticket. So the first time it was in person, and it's 6 hours. So you either do 3 hours one day, 3 hours another, or you do 6 hours straight, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Or you just go online, and I went to comedy driving school to do So that's probably why they're hurting.
And the videos are awful, huh?
I mean, the stoner was kind of funny. The stoner was kind of funny.
Aren't they all old and out of date videos?
The videos, yeah. They look like, yeah, they look bad.
You used to be able to rent them at when Blockbuster and those places were a thing. They're all
right.
They
could rent them. I remember taking Defensive Driving via VHS tape from Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Albert DeLeon, who's a local comedian, I need to feature him on Friday. He used to teach defensive driving, and apparently that dude is hilarious. Like, he would make up stories about getting into crashes as part of the class and just have these wild, outlandish things that he would talk about. And people would be like, is that true? And he'd be like, nope.
But I got you.
Yeah, but anybody made it fun. But yeah, apparently, and he's a funny guy. So yeah, it depends on, I think, who you get as your instructor too, how much fun it's going to be, or if they're going to be, you know, funny.
No, my instructor, he wasn't trying to be funny. He was serious because he had a daughter that had a serious car accident, and that's kind of what inspired him to open up the defensive driving school.
Really?
So it was not really.
So it's all morbid. Pay attention, you could all die.
I mean, like, he had some jokes here and there.
I ran a stop sign. I know. I guess it's not that big of a deal, though. Like,
yeah.
Oh, he had a few lame ass jokes.
Yeah.
Why did the chicken cross the road? Because he looked both ways. Safety first. Oh my god. You should.
Why are you stealing my material? Dude, seriously, the other thing is, in Houston, defensive driving these days means you got to look out for drive-by shooters and be on the defensive for everything that's going on. Because time you turn on the news and look at this stuff lately, it's like, that's all that's going on. People don't give up. They don't care.
People are wild, man.
And they don't care if kids are in the car. And here, the other thing, too, speaking of that, when we're talking about the city, the other thing I'm never going to understand, and again, it's not something that you guys have to worry about, Nick, you yet, Barry, you ever, but parents that have kids in the car and leave the car running and the kid in the car and just go into the store for something.
Oh, yeah, I would never do that.
The lady the other night, I think it's 1 a.m, and leaves her kid in the car, goes inside the convenience store to get something. The guy takes the car and the kid, obviously, gets in a high-speed chase for like 20 minutes, abandons the car with the kid in it, and takes off. And the mom is like, yeah, my baby's been through so much. Well, why do you think that is? You left the damn car, the kid in the car, and took off.
Look, I'm okay with leaving the kid in the car as long as you crack the window.
Here you go.
And leave him a bowl of water.
I ain't gonna lie, my mom did that, so.
Yeah, you leave him a bowl of water.
What?
My mom left me in the car before.
Crack the window, lock
the door.
That's because
you pissed her off. I'm talking about when you were young.
Yeah, when I was young. When I was
My wife leaves me in the car all the time.
That I
think
can
she's
see.
Hoping I die.
And I don't think she rolls the windows down.
No. She's like, I hope you die.
She's like, honey, you're going to go to the sauna because you've got no choice.
Somebody said, I've missed the show. I really enjoy it. Been on a podcast kick with Joe Rogan. What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah, disrespectful.
Seriously. Yeah, you can listen to Joe Rogan at night.
Yeah, listen to Joe Rogan other times.
And a lot of people from other industries are chiming in. So somebody said, because of the construction question about it being slow, that Harvey had a lot to do with that. That money was diverted to other projects for Harvey. That makes sense.
Okay. I can see it having an impact.
All right, I get it. Hopefully you guys are getting it as we're in the second half of the show. Plenty more to get to. We still are going to mention this U.S. Women's World Cup team and the what controversy?
Running up the score.
Yeah, people. I mean, I guess that your participation trophies got rusty and you needed something else to shoot. I don't, just stupid. And we will not have Glenn Davis on to discuss it. We will talk amongst ourselves. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, here we go. Wrapping up hour number two of the show. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. As we continue to roll on, let's get to this USA Women's...
USA! USA!
Yeah, yesterday, as you had mentioned during the show, Barry, USA had a field day.
Uh-huh.
Winning, what, 13-0 was the final. Okay?
Okay.
Fred and AJ felt like they had to have Glenn Davis on to talk about it.
Okay.
I think we can talk about everything that our listeners need to want to hear about in terms of soccer and the World Cup. And the big thing that comes out of this isn't the dominance of Team USA.
USA!
It's, was it fair? Were they piling on? Was this excessive? Should they have done all of this? And why were they celebrating goals? I mean, people have, has it really come to this? It could be worse. You could be the men's team. You didn't even qualify because you sucked.
So the whole piling on thing, that should be a non-discussion because points, goals are part of the scoring system.
Good point.
So if you could get 20, baby, get 20. Because you don't want to lose on a tiebreak or the fact that you had less goals than another team. Think about this. If they were to just stop it, well, we're up 5-0. Let's just throttle back. And then the rest of the games that they're playing are close, and it comes down to goals to advance, and another team has been winning by a wider margin, just not all in one game, they'd be pissed.
Great point.
And America would be pissed. So I don't have a problem with 13-0. If you don't like it, Thailand, either stop them or just quit.
Because you know the next team that plays Thailand, they're not going to care. And they're not going to probably have a fan base that goes, stop being mean to them. No. And I like what some of the girls on the team said, the ladies on the team said. They said, you know what? If you don't like it, stop us.
Yep.
And the fact of the matter is they had Alex Morgan on this morning, and she said, you know what? We can't win for losing. Because you know what? If we say anything, then we're bitching about something. And if we say we're not getting the same treatment as the men, we're bitching about something. If we win, it's not good enough because now we won and we rubbed it in.
Yeah. And all these knuckleheads that, like me, that bitch about soccer being boring, that wasn't boring. That was fun. And if every soccer game was like that, I'm all in.
They whether they qualified or they were, you know, the USA has to go through qualifiers.
Yeah.
So the fact of the matter is, if they're in the World Cup and they lost 13-0, that's on them.
Yep.
I'm tired of hearing this. And the same people, now, I guarantee you, that are bitching about this are the people that love that their kids get participation trophies.
I think the bigger question from this isn't necessarily, should they have run the score up? I think most people are saying, should they be celebrating when you're up 11-0 and you score a 12th goal? Should you be hooting and hollering and celebrating at the same level like it was 1-0?
It depends. Like if it's, I think it's Alex Morgan scored 5 goals in the game and that sets a record for World Cup. So if it's something like that, but again, you're trained and coached up to, you bust your tail, and if the end result is a goal, you celebrate it, and you're in the World Cup. I mean, I get it. At some point, people say, don't be excessive because it's really rubbing it in. But again, it's the World Cup. It isn't Little League Soccer at the YWCA. And I think that in the middle of a game, I'm sure I don't want you running up to the team, the other team, and pointing in their face and stuff like that. But if you're whooping it up because you scored a goal, I'm not mad at you.
Yeah, it's different if you're running down the pitch and you run past you like that?
Like that technical terminology.
And you run past one of the Thailand team members and you're like, in your face, you dumbass.
Right.
That's different. But here's my take on it, because this is a sport where people don't score very often.
Mm-hmm.
And they may go, some of these players may go games or months, or they may never score a goal period in the World Cup. And if you're telling me that I'm going to have the opportunity to get 2, 3, 4 goals in one game, knowing that I may never score again until this whole thing is over with, yeah, I'm celebrating every goal. Do you know how long I've gone without a goal? Like, do you know how many 1-0 games there are?
And seriously, yeah, in terms of how many people in this country get upset that, like, for instance, the men's team isn't even qualified for the World Cup, and from a standpoint where everybody from a nation's perspective thinks we have the best athletes and we should have the teams in every one of these different competitions.
Well, we should, because we're superior.
Exactly. And then so those people are upset because we're showing dominance in a game because we're kicking ass. Let me ask you this. Were you bitching too when the dream team was blowing everybody off the court in basketball? No, you weren't. And you know what? Before that, they allowed the pros to play in the dream with the dream team for the Olympic team, the gap was closed. People were concerned. You were losing games, which was unheard of. And all of a sudden, it was like, yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. And I like it. Why is that not the case now?
It was the Canadians, I think, that started the bitching and moaning. And, you know, the rest of the world probably piled on. I haven't seen who all has come out. But I don't know that it's necessarily Americans that are upset about it. It's probably...
Oh, there were some Americans.
It's probably the rest of the world. And guess what? Tough. America has been the stepchild and bastard in soccer for years, mm-hmm. and now this country has a team that's dominant, that's picked to be the best, or not picked to be the best, but picked to win the whole thing. Sorry, not sorry. Like,
you know what they did?
Again, if you don't like it, stop
it. That was a political move by the Canadians. They were tired of taking heat for cheering Kevin Durant's Achilles tendon, so they had to deflect. So now they're pissed at the American team for running up the score.
I'm just not going to... If this was reversed and Thailand beat the ladies 13-0, I would come on this show and say that was an embarrassment. That was awful. This country and that sports program should be ashamed. But you know what? If you don't like them scoring 13, stop it.
You know the other thing I would say,
It would be the same take.
This is the argument that the ladies should make. The ladies should say, this is exactly why we should get paid at least what the men are getting paid between the two national teams. Because we not only qualify for World Cups, we annihilate people when we're in them. And so for the whole equal pay thing,
right?
At least they're doing what they're supposed to do by being a member of the team. They're qualifying, and then they're kicking ass when they're in. So if you're going to overpay the men for not making it and not being relevant, that's a bit of a slip up. Let's just say that. That's stupid on the USA Soccer's part. So
somebody said, Barry Joel, I completely agree with your points about the women's national team, but if we keep messing around, watch the Thai people take away Pad Thai.
Jeez.
Can't have that. No way.
Okay.
Nope, I'm not touching that one.
I don't think even Granado would touch that one.
Maybe. I think he would. I think he'd be all over that.
See, look, somebody texted what I said. Players were scoring their first or only goal in a World Cup. Exactly. If I've been toiling in World Cup and I'm a defensive player, I don't know, defenseman. I almost said defenseman.
It is a defenseman, though.
Well, not if it's a lady.
Defensive back.
Okay. If I'm a defensive back and I've never had the opportunity to even score, and it's hard to score in soccer. I don't care. It's very difficult. Otherwise, it would be 13-10 every game. But if I've been playing defensive back for the World Cup team, and this is my third World Cup, and I haven't scored yet, and I get one, and it was 11-0, and I happen to score the 12th goal, you bet your ass I'm celebrating.
Yeah.
You bet your candy ass. And if you didn't like it, then one of them chicks on the other side should have stopped me.
And here's my other point when you're talking about it being if it was the YWCA instead of the World Cup. Well, the YWCA is going to teach the ultimate in sportsmanship and polite play, and everybody's going to get those participation trophies. So you get it. You don't want to be excessive and just pound another team into the ground and demoralize them. But you know what? This isn't that. This is the World Cup, and this is for a lot more at stake and a lot of attention being drawn to it. And you want to win, and you want to win decisively. And whether they were playing Germany or somebody else, the bottom line is win and win definitively. And they did that.
And if you don't like it, then don't make goals part of the system that can advance or keep you from advancing.
Then, if you then don't reward like that, people based on handshakes.
Well, what I'm saying is as long as, like in hockey, it can come down to goals scored in certain cases. If you don't like that, then, you know, it's like football. Remember when margin of victory was part of the equation that they would figure out who was going to be, advanced to the national title? Then they had to take that out because teams like Alabama were scheduling cupcakes and running up the score.
Right.
And, I mean, everybody still does that. But you have to fix the problem or just deal with it. So if scoring is going to be included in how teams advance, then you're going to get 13-0 games sometimes, and you just better deal with it and shut up.
Absolutely.
Somebody said, in your face, thong some butt.
You got to have listened to yesterday's show, and if you didn't, you're missing something. But then you can put two and two together there.
Yeah, if you don't get in your face, thong some butt, go back and listen to
Become a real suspect. Yep.
Third hour. Yep. Oh, that's so brilliant. Yep. Great
there
text.
There you go. Definitely. All right, we got an hour to go in the show. 60 minutes on the clock when we come back. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.